And so God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to dive into this tonight. I've been praying for you, and I'm praying for you now, and I love this theme of your year and this theme of your conference called Increase. And I want to talk about increase. And there is a lot of wisdom as it relates to increase in the book of Genesis. I just believe that if you study Genesis, if you study creation, you will learn a lot about your life because you are a part of creation. And I think one of the things that's interesting about Genesis, and maybe it isn't brought out enough, is that in Genesis, after the second chapter of Genesis, after God makes everything that he's going to make, the Bible says in the seventh day, he rested. In other words, that's it. It's settled. There's nothing in the Bible that says that God got up and started working again. So he declares the end from the beginning. And so I think that there's a lot that we can discover and uncover if we study the book of Genesis. And so I want to pray real quick, and I want to take us there. It shouldn't be too difficult for you to find. If it is, let's bring those prayer people back out again. Just if you're struggling with finding Genesis, we want to meet you right over there and lay hands on you quickly. Father, we thank you so much for this time tonight, for this gathering. We sense your presence. You are here, and you love us, and you've brought us here for such a time as this. God, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and insight and knowledge. I thank you for the keys to hearts and minds in this place right now. And Spirit of the living God, I want you to move. This is not just another meeting, not just another gathering, but there are gems. There's insight and wisdom, knowledge, revelation. There are divine explanations that are going to bring clarity and truth to your sons and daughters who are here, to your sons and daughters who will watch later. So have your way in this place. And God, we want to pray for the person next to us. We don't want to be selfish here with your blessing. You are God enough to bless me and everybody in this room. And so we intercede for the person who's sitting next to us, on our left, on our right, in front of us. And we just pray, God, if there's a healing that's needed, let that healing come. We pray that light bulbs will go off all over this room. And it will be like, aha, I get it. Now I understand. Do that and so much more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So you all have been talking about increase. We've been talking about increase, and I believe in increase. I believe that everything that God does, that everything that God is about is increase. In fact, that the prophecy in Isaiah 9, as it relates to Jesus coming before he even got here, one of the things that it said about him was that of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. And so God is all about increase. The kingdom itself, when Jesus comes and he's preaching the kingdom and he talks about parables of the kingdom, he talks about how the kingdom starts small, but then ultimately will consume all. You were born for increase. It's in you. It's in your core. It's in your fiber. It's in your DNA. It's who you are. And so I love it. I love it. But increase can be tricky. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the process of increase. And I want us to really take a look at some things that we'll find in Genesis that I believe will explain to you what you must do and what you must understand to walk in the increase that's assigned in your life. There's more to you than you think. So we're going to look at it really quickly. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to skip around a little bit. We're going to read Genesis 1:1-4. And then we're going to skip over to verse 10 and read 10 through 12. And then we're going to skip over again to 27 and 31. And then if I still need to go further, we'll go Genesis 2:1-3. So we're pretty much going to be reading intermittently all of the first chapter of Genesis and then a few verses in the second chapter. Are you here for it? Anybody love the word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things that have been, will be, and are yet to come are going to happen through His Word. So we love His Word, and if you are still looking for Genesis, I'm praying for you for real. So this is the story of creation. And why am I talking about creation when we're talking about increase? Is one of the things that I've learned is that oftentimes increase is the byproduct of creation. In other words, when God is desiring to take you to another level, what he has to do sometimes is create that level. I want to say that better. Sometimes increase, in order for God to bring you into the increase that's assigned in your life, it's not adding more to who you are. Sometimes he has to tear down the old to bring you into an increase new. Are you tracking with me? So increase oftentimes is the byproduct of creation. Sometimes God has to create your next level. Okay, all right. We're gonna have fun tonight. He's gotta create your next level. Sometimes God's gotta create your deliverance. He's gotta create your miracle. You're like, where is it? And he's like, it's being created. It's being created. I gotta get to the text. Okay. So it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Doesn't that seem problematic? Seriously. It says, this is the account of creation. And then that account of creation, God says that the Bible says that God, he creates the heavens and the earth, and we're supposed to celebrate and applaud and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, you have done it. But the very next thing it says is that the earth is void and without form. And there's darkness all over the face of the deep. And what that taught me about creation, what that taught me about increase, what that taught me about the process of increase is oftentimes the beginning of increase looks like nothing. You gotta know this. Because some of you have promises over your life, and God said, I'm going to do this. And in fact, God didn't say, I'm going to do it. God said, I am doing it. And you're looking at your life, and you see nothing. You ever been there before? You came to Freedom House, and you got a powerful word by Pastor Cy. I like that. I know they called you Cy. I'm going to call you that now. But Pastor Cy Silver or Pastor Marie, you got a powerful word, and you knew it was God. Because it hits you dead center in your knower. You know what I'm talking about? If you got a knower, holler at me. You can't explain it, but there's a word that's thrown at you and you catch it and you're like, oh my God, that was for me. And it is so, so real to you that word is like tangible. That word hits you so hard that it brings you into the reality of that word. You ever had a word like that? And it's true. But then you get in your car or you log on to your bank account. Or you check your email. And it is formless and void. You ever been there before? And if you don't understand this truth that we're going to unpack, if you don't understand this truth, then you will begin to disbelieve what God said. Increase always starts in the red. Oh, I come down there and talk to you. I want to come down there and talk to you, but I don't know how the cameras flow, so I'm not going to do it. This is crazy. God created the heavens and the earth. But then the earth is formless and without void. And then we got the theologians and we got the gap theory and Satan failed. And I get all that, but stop it. Even with the gap theory interjected into that text, the reality is God was creating something and it looked like nothing. And sometimes when God is increasing you, because I believe with all of my heart, your insides determine your outsides. I believe that God is more concerned about increasing you than he is increasing things around you, because you are the most important thing to him. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. He came for you, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. It's always going to be about you. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses, in the Greek, himself. So God is always going to be concerned about you. I pastor some of the most successful people in Hollywood. And I'm telling you right now, I pastor them, so I know what's in them. And some of them have everything, and it's funny because you'll be looking at them and you'll want their life, and no, you don't. You want their life because you see the bling. But the reason why they are calling me 3 o'clock in the morning crying and weeping is because they have gained externally and have not become internally. And what a shame would it be if you are following somebody on social media wanting their life, but you as a child of God have more on the inside of you. I feel the Spirit of God in this house. You got more on. They need to be following you because of what's on the inside of you. So God is always going to be concerned about you. And when God is looking to increase you, sometimes in that process, you feel formless. I want to talk to some people who God has got his hands on, but right now, you feel formless. What does it mean to feel formless? You used to have most things concerning your life figured out. And then you prayed for increase. Hallelujah. You prayed for increase. You prayed that God would take you to the next level. And all of a sudden, you went from everything being light and everything, you knowing where everything is, even you knowing where to access God. Come on, if I sing 2 worship songs and say 1 prayer, I'll feel his presence. Can I talk to you for a minute? Come on, because you know we have our routine for the presence, right? I know, God, I can do all this during the week, but if I just sing a song, if I put elevation on, if I put on Shakers, if I put on Hillsong, come on, if I put on Freedom House and say a prayer, I'll be able to access God and feel his presence and feel his power. But then you prayed for increase and you prayed for God to take you to the next level. And all of a sudden your little water stops are no longer effective. Can I talk to some real people? And you begin to wonder if his hand is really on your life anymore. You begin to wonder, God, wait a minute, I don't feel you. And I just got this word from you, and you said increase is coming. You're getting ready to create this new level. You said all this, but I don't see you. I don't feel you. And I don't even feel like myself anymore. Who am I? I feel naked. I'm trying to put on my smiley face. I'm trying to put on my cute little Christian face. But if I'm honest, I feel empty. I feel dry. I do not feel your hands. This does not feel like a blessing. God, where are you? I fasted and prayed for this building. I did everything that I knew to do. And now all of a sudden, I have to stand in front of my congregation when we shouted over having our conference in this building. And I have to stand in front of my people as a leader whose whole basis for success is based on the integrity of the things that I say. I'm feeling a little formless and a little void. But there's something that is stated in the very next sentence that is important for you to know when you're in your increase season. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and without form. Was without form and void. It says, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And then it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This is what you need to know. Even in those moments where you've received the word, you're relying on the word, you've built your life around that word, but your life looks nothing like that word, and you feel like God does not have his hand on you, you have to know, just like in this story, in this account of creation, that the Spirit of God is hovering. Yes, sir. You can't see the Spirit because it's dark.
It says darkness is over the face of the deep. The deep is the waters. And the Spirit, even right now, in some of you, I feel the Spirit of God. This is for somebody. This is prophetic for somebody, for somebody. God sent me here. Just if you don't get anything else I say tonight, God wants you to know that he's hovering over you right now. The Spirit is hovering over your circumstance. It's hovering over your darkness. You think you're in it by yourself because you don't see anything or feel anything, but the Spirit right now is moving. Oh, I feel it. Right now, you're not by yourself. Spirit is hovering. God is saying, I got my eye on you. I'm covering this thing. You're not by yourself. You're not forsaken. I'm getting ready to move. I'm hovering over you. To hover is to cover. Because sometimes when you're in that place, you feel like you've got to hide, because if anyone saw how I really felt. Can I talk to some real people here tonight? We're going to get down to the good stuff in just a second, but if anyone's, and no one is, because God is hovering you. He's covering you. In the time of trouble, he will hide you. That's Psalm 27. He'll hide you. I want you to know that right now. You're not by yourself. The Spirit is very close to you. I love it. It says, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the deep. God is face to face with you. You know how you can be in a dark room and not realize how close you are to something? You're close to something. I feel it. You're close to breakthrough. You're close to deliverance. And all God has to do is open his mouth. And your darkness is going to turn to light. Watch this. It's all in the text. It says, and we're going to go, you know, it says, and the earth was verse 2, was without form and void and darkness over the face. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then it says, then God said, let there be light. Yabia loose. I'm working on it. God said, let there be light, and there was light. I think I was supposed to put the emphasis, Yabia loose. There it is. You have to put the emphasis on, there it is. I got you. I'm working on it. That's all I got, though. That's all I got. That's all I got for you. You can pray for the rest. Hallelujah. Dios, I got that. That's about it. Okay. Alaba al Señor, that's all I got. That's all I got. All right. Then God said, let there be light. So the Spirit is hovering over the face of the waters. I'm in darkness. I did not realize that the Spirit is hovering. And then in the process of time, God speaks and he says, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, I want us to jump down to verse 10. I want you to see something. Because there are three parts, if you would, to increase. There's creation, there's manifestation, and then there is multiplication. There's creation, there's manifestation, and there's multiplication. And you might say, well, isn't creation and manifestation, aren't those things the same? No. Manifestation is just when creation is seen. But creation is creation when it's a thought in God's mind. It's like when God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, before I formed you in the belly, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So in other words, I was intimately acquainted with you, intimately involved with you when you were just a thought in my mind. And that's where we get confused. We think that something doesn't exist until we see it. But that is not so. The thing exists when God speaks it. So creation and manifestation, those are two different seasons, but you're supposed to get happy at creation, because when God says something is going to happen, you might as well shout and rejoice, because he cannot lie. There's no division in himself. And if he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. And God wants to bring us to a place where we begin to think like him. We used to sing, I was a part of a Baptist church, right? We had some old Baptists. So any Baptist roots in here? Holler at me if you got, no, not any. Yeah, Jesus, okay, that's all right. Good for you. No, I'm kidding. But no. But we had this song that we used to sing, and it was, "Don't wait until the battle is over to shout now." Anybody know that song? Huh? Come on, where are my undercover Baptists? Come on, somebody. "Don't wait until the battle is over to shout now." And then it would say, "We know in the end we're going to win." But I love it. It was like, I don't know, to be honest with you, I feel like I'm cheating God when I only praise him when I see it. I feel like a fake believer, like seriously, like, you know, because anybody can praise God when you see it. Let me show you something real quick. Let me tell you, because we only got a few minutes here. Let me just show you real fast. It says, "And God called," of course, the process of creation is taking place. I just want you to see this. "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the water sea called seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God says," now God's speaking in verse 11, "then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so." It was so. We're going to see the text have three different responses, and those three different responses are according to the three different phases of increase. The first phase of increase is creation. The second phase of increase is manifestation. And the third phase of increase is multiplication, right? Creation, multiplication, manifestation. And the text has three responses to each. What we just read was about creation. It says, "Then God said," he spoke, "let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was what? It was so. So when God speaks it, when he speaks it out, it is so. So when you hear a word from God that was for you, you've been at this conference all weekend. Holler at me if you've heard words that you know are for you. They are for you. They're for you. Okay. Now, holler at me if you have heard words that are for you, but they have not been manifest yet. That's normal. I feel the Spirit of God. That's normal. And if you don't normalize celebrating and receiving in the sow season, in the creation season, you won't have the strength to bring it forth in a manifestation season. Because one of the things that I've learned about the God that I serve is he is not impressed with you rejoicing or believing or even bringing the birth in a manifestation season. He wants you to come into agreement with what he says when he said it, so that regardless of what is going on in your life, in your spirit, it is so. Ooh, there's something about your wombs, the womb of your spirit. It's something about your ability to agree with God about what he says that creates the healthy pregnancy. I gotta say it again. There's something, this has hit me. There's something about what you do with what he says that will determine if it comes. And I think that maybe that's why God leaves space in between creation and manifestation. Because if you receive it at creation, then that makes you worthy and qualified for the season of manifestation. Where are my people? You've got a word from God, and you're saying, "God, I'm going to be worthy of this word. You are not a man that you can, that you should lie. Everything you say is true." And you got to fight for that posture. I feel that for somebody. You got to fight for that belief. You got to say, "God, if you said it, it's coming to pass. If I got to wait 15 years, it doesn't matter. You are going to bring that word to pass over my life." This is who you got to be. You've got to let that word make you alive. I feel like running in here. This thing, I'm going to tell you, this thing called destiny, it's not for people who won't pay the price to believe. Jesus says this. He says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He was basically saying, let's have an exchange here. In other words, let me be the God who performs it. You be the son or daughter who believes it. Let's have an exchange here. And the issue that we have is that oftentimes we are saying to God, God speaks to us and we say, God, I hear you. Now, if you show me, I'll believe you. It's like we're holding God hostage and we're saying, God, you know what? Yeah, I know you said it, but just show me and then I'll bring my belief to the next level. And God is saying, you're telling me to show you and then you believe me. I'm telling you to believe me and then I'll show you that I'm God. This is how this thing works. The children of Israel, I don't know why I'm stuck here, I'm trying to move on. But the children of Israel, check this out. Everyone had access to the promised land because he spoke it over everyone. But not everyone could get in. And let me tell you something, their sin is not what kept them out, the ones that couldn't get in. It wasn't their freaky deaky. It wasn't addiction. It wasn't their struggle. It wasn't even necessarily their idolatry. There was one thing that kept them from being able to step into the land of increase, and that was unbelief. And I believe I'm talking to some people in it right now, and you're saying, God, it is not gonna be because I didn't believe. That will not be the reason I didn't walk into my inheritance. I didn't walk into my destiny. We can just scratch that right off the list. It will not be because I didn't believe. I will die believing. I would have fainted lest I believe to see the goodness of the God. The goodness of God in the land of the living. Don't let the fact that you didn't believe be the reason why it didn't come to pass. There are promises over your life. There are huge things over your life, but you are gonna have to believe to birth that baby. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's no way around it. You're not just gonna stumble into all that God has for you. You've got to lay hold of it. I promise you. You listen, this is positive. I promise you this is positive. But I'm going to sit down and I'm going to tell you the truth. It is not going to happen simply because you come to church. Destiny is not for lazy people. You got to get up, fast, pray, fight, lay hold of it. Devil, not today. Not today. It's not easy to lay hold. Paul said, I forget what's behind me and I reach forward to those things that are ahead. I press. You don't press if it's easy. You gotta fight for this thing. You gotta become a spiritual gangster. Are you hearing me? Don't be all nice, playing nicey-nice with doubt. Doubt, get behind me. You are in the way. You are the only thing that can keep me from my destiny. I will not befriend you, doubt. Me and faith are gonna walk this thing completely out. Where are my faith-filled people in here? I'm gonna lay hold of it. It's gonna be mine. Man, there were people in the Bible against all odds. I feel something right there.
You're this close. You're going to believe your way into destiny. You're going to believe your way into destiny. That's why the battle is always over the mind. The enemy has 72 different narratives, 72 different stories about how God is not going to do it. You ever been there before? The moment you get a word, what the enemy tries to do is he tries to write a short film. 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 100 short films that he rolls in your mind every single day. And that short film was a narrative that says God ain't gonna do it. And you're gonna have to take control of your mind. And you're gonna have to cast, you have to take captive of your thoughts, and you're gonna have to cast every high thing and every imagination that exalts itself against, you're gonna have to do that in order to walk into it. So back to the text real quick. So it was so when God said it. He told the earth, he said, bring forth grass, let this happen. The herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is itself. And it was so. So it was so at him speaking it. I feel that. There's some people you ought to get happy right now. Because you don't realize the value of the word that you have. You don't realize that it wasn't just empty words. I know people have empty and vain words, but not God. God's words are declaring the end from the beginning. God's words have substance. There's something in the words that he speaks. They are not empty. The word. Peter was able to walk on water because of the word. It wasn't even his faith, to be honest with you. It was the word. You know the story. Peter's in the boat. And Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. And Peter says, Lord, if that be you, let me walk on the water too. If he would have just started walking, Peter would have sank right there on the spot. He said, Jesus, if it be you, let me walk on the water. And Jesus said one word, come. Boom. It wasn't just an empty word. When Jesus said come, boom, every resource necessary in the universe was attracted to that moment to give Peter the power to walk out the word. Did you hear what I'm saying? All of the universe, everything has to stand in agreement with the word. If creation will worship you, if creation will believe you, so will I. He walked on the word because the word has ability in it. It is loaded. It's loaded, but we have to birth it. His word is the seed. We are wombs. That's why you got to protect your womb. I feel the Spirit of God. I'm trying to land the plane. That's why you got to protect your womb. A healthy womb is a womb of faith. A healthy womb is a womb of that will disallow, that will not allow any negative thought to come in. You got to be like the nerve of you trying to bring an anti-promise thought. Sometimes you got to get mad. Some Christians were too nice. Oh, Jesus, I just plead the blood. No, get mad and angry and rebellious and dis. We got to go. We gotta go.
So good.
Verse 11, it ends with, God said it. He says, it was so. Okay? God said, let the earth bring forth. Let all these things bring forth. In other words, the earth had stuff in it. Ooh, God, I feel it. The earth. Adam, man from the earth. So there's a connection between us and the earth. So God creates the earth. The earth has stuff in it. God speaks to the earth and says, that which is in you, let it come forth. That's what God is saying to some of you tonight. There's more to you than you think. But when I created you, when I fashioned you, I put some stuff in you and I need it to come forth, because if it doesn't come forth, if you don't increase, I do not get what I made. If you don't release, I feel the Lord. If you don't hear my word, The only way for you to know who you are and what is assigned to your life is you hearing my word. Because before I formed you, I knew you, I created you, I set you apart, and I ordained you. Nobody knows what's in you but me. You don't even know what's in you because you are basing what's in you based on what your mama did, based on what your daddy did, based on what people say that you can do. So your environment is determining to you, is telling you who you are and what you think you have. And so you've got to listen to me. I am the one who was there before your mama and your daddy even got hooked up. You were a thought in my mind. So you got to listen to me so I can tell you what's on the inside of you. And that's why I give you words. And that's why I say, I tell you things that are bigger than you. I'm not telling you things that are bigger than you. I'm calling you to do things that are according to you. I don't call you beyond you. I call you according to you. I need the voice of God in my life. What if the earth said, no, I don't have all that in me. I don't have trees in me. I don't have seeds in me. No, I'm just this big round thing. No. The earth obeys. And there's another response. When God just told the earth, let it bring forth grass and trees and everything, it says it was so. It says, but when the earth brought forth the grass, in verse 12, when the earth brought forth the grass and the herb that yields seed according to its kind and trees that yield fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was what?
Good.
It was good. So it went from so to good. It went from so to good. It went from creation to manifestation because the earth and you had the strength to believe what God said. And then the last part, and I want you to study it on your own. This is really important. There were three responses in the text. Read it, study it. It was so. It was good. And then it gets even better. It says, and it was very good. And he only says it's very good one time, and that is when he had finished creating everything. And right before he says it's very good, it talks about how God had created everything, and then he had created a system so that what he created would continue to reproduce itself. That's the multiplication part. I wish I had more time to teach it, but I don't. But hear me. There are really three phases to this thing in life. The more I learn about God, the more I walk with God. It's simple. Creation, manifestation, and then multiplication. I don't know what stage you're in. There's some in this room right now, and you are in, predominantly, you are in the sow season. And the sow season is when all you have are words. And the powerful thing about a word is it's designed to work you out. Don't despise being in the sow season. The sow season is when you have a word, but it has not been manifest yet. That word is designed to try you. Oh, I feel it right there. We all want the manifestation season. God, please manifest it, produce it, let it happen. Not realizing that you don't get developed in the manifestation season. You get developed in the sow season. Because that's the place where you have to wrestle with your doubts. You have to wrestle with all of your unbelief, all of your disbelief. All of your trust issues have to get handled in the sow season. And I just sense this for some of you, as God teaches you how to believe in this sow season, you're going to rejoice more in the sow season than you do in the manifestation season, because you realize that if you are in the manifestation season, you're really waiting for the next thing. I need to say that better. I believe that once I see something, it doesn't represent what is, it represents what was. Are you tracking with me? Because you have creation, you have manifestation, and you have multiplication. By the time I see it, I should be believing for the next thing. Are you tracking with me? I have so, in the sow season, I have so come to the place where my reality is that it is so, that when manifestation comes, I'm like, duh. And I'm on to the next. And I believe that's how we increase. That's how we go from level to level. If we're faithful over the little sows, then God will give us the next sow. And if we're faithful over that next sow, God will give us the next sow on the next level. And if we're faithful over that sow, and it keeps going and going and going until you get into the multiplication season. The multiplication season is the season for the advanced. It's those who have walked with God long enough to know that if he said so, it is so. They have walked with God long enough to see God manifest every word he said. It's like God had this encounter with Joshua, and he told Joshua one day, he said, not one word has fallen to the ground of all the words I spoke to you. The multiplication season, Pastor Cy. I like that, Zai. I like that. The multiplication season is when you have perfected manifesting who you are. You've been tested. You have been tried. And now it's time for you to begin to reproduce. Oh, I feel God. Reproduce the grace that has been in your life into the lives of others. Some of you right now, this is in your home. This is on your jobs. This is at your school. This is in your neighborhood. This is in your community. This is in your family, where you are no longer questioning and struggling and trying to figure out if God is God and if he is a worthy investment of a person's heart and soul. You figured it out. Now you are a disciple. And it's interesting. The disciples went from those who, you know, Jesus is so awesome. The disciples went from those who were just following Jesus and learning from Jesus to those who were then now functioning like Jesus. And they were reproducing himself through him. He was only with them roughly for 3 years. And they were trying to beg Jesus. Jesus, you know, please stay with us longer. You know, Jesus talking about going to the cross. And like, no, Jesus, just stay with us longer. And he's like, yo, No, devil, not today. He says, no. He says, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. In other words, you cannot be empowered to manifest your fullness. There's some of you, you're in various seasons. Some of you are in the sow season. To you, I say, you got to believe. You got to fight doubt. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to happen until you overcome doubt. And I'm not being negative. I'm telling you how to get it for your benefit. There's some of you, and you're in the manifestation season. What I say to you is this. Jesus says in John 15, he who bears fruit, he prunes that it might bear forth more fruit. If you stay in manifestation too long, you will get stagnant. Listen for the next thing. I think that we ought to always be believing God for something. We ought to always be reaching for something. Why? Because there's more. There's more in you. Who you are is always ahead of where you are. Did you catch that? Who you are is always ahead of where you are. This is why Paul says, I haven't attained, I'm not already perfected. This thing that I do, I forget what's behind me. Why? Because I don't want to be glorying over old fruit. There's new fruit. There are new things. There's a new season, new levels, new increase, new dimensions. And to the rest, to those of you who have been blessed and you've experienced the manifestation of God, it's time for you to multiply. Some of you, you think you're too young to be spiritual fathers or spiritual mothers, but no, you're not. Do you have a testimony? Are you mature? You need to find somebody to mentor. Find somebody to pour into. I think there's some people when you're called to multiply through business. Yes, business can very much be kingdom. I know a lot of people that are in business and their business is their kingdom. Find ways to expand and increase your influence. Some of you are called to various aspects of ministry. You gotta multiply. That's for the mature. I love you. I wanna pray for you. I'm excited to be here at this conference. I believe with all of my heart that you are in the right church. You are in the right ministry. I believe the Silvers have a pulse on what God is doing in this season, in this region, in this world, and in this time. And I want you to be all in unlike ever before. So if you don't mind, I want to pray for you. If that's okay, Pastor Silver, just with the last couple minutes, I want to pray for you. If you're here in particular and you feel like, man, God was speaking to me, I've fallen into one of those categories. I've been struggling with my soul. Or maybe, you know, I've been walking in manifestation, but I'm living in what God did and not what God wants to do next. Or you're here and you're like, wow, what is next? And God said, it's for you to multiply now. It's for you to step into it. I feel that thing. There's some in this room right now and you feel disqualified. I hear it so clearly from God. You feel disqualified to multiply. And maybe it's because, you know, you're still working something out. But I hear the Lord saying to you that the reason you working it out, you mentoring and you embracing kingdom responsibility, maybe it's serving in the church, that's actually going to bring you out of what you're wrestling with, because it's going to draw you closer to God. You're going to serve God. You're going to rely on God more. And I believe that as you serve and as you get close to God and as you press in and you just, you know, and you don't have to be on the stage, just serve somewhere, get near the center, the heart of this church. That's where the power is. That's where the yokes break. That's where the anointing is. That's where the glory. Some of you are going to move from the back closer to the front. And I just want to pray for you. So, Father, we love you. We thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for every dear person in this room right now, every dear person who will watch later. And Jesus, you're speaking. And Jesus, you're reminding us, God, that increase does not start full. It always starts empty. It always starts void. It always starts with nothing, and it always feels awkward. But I thank you that you're reminding us that even when we don't see you, you are hovering. Hallelujah. And I pray the wind of the Holy Spirit would just pass by those who need to know you're near. Pass by those who are in a dark season, and just let the wind of one of your wings just pass over them, just to let them know that you are there. And God, I thank you that what you have said is so, and it will come to pass. Give your sons and daughters the strength and the ability to bring forth what you have already set forth. And then, Father, I pray by your Spirit that you would speak to every heart in here and give creative ways for multiplication through mentorship in the marketplace and through ministry. Bless these, your sons and daughters. Bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you very much.